In the name of God who has made us and who loves us and keeps us. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We say or sing aloud every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, known even in the early church as Good Shepherd Sunday. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Even we Episcopalians who rarely quote scripture and chapter by verse, but instead weave it through the prayers of our liturgy, even we can recite this psalm from memory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, the gospel is always drawn from John's 10th chapter, in which Jesus says among those who do not believe, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And we imagine ourselves in the arms of Jesus, seeing how he holds his lambs in icons and stained glass and statuary. We sing hymns extending the poetry of these passages into song. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Shepherd of souls, refresh and bless thy chosen pilgrim flock. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. The Lord my God my shepherd is. How could I want or need? So many beautiful and beloved words and images and songs to choose from on this fourth Sunday of Easter. And I can't get out of my head, I wanna be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. It's a children's song, and it goes on. I don't wanna be a Pharisee, because they are not fair, you see. I don't want to be a Sadducee, because they're so sad, you see. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. It was one metaphor too many for those who gathered around Jesus in the temple that day. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. They demanded, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And what if he had? What if Jesus had responded as a matter of fact, yes, I am the Messiah. I am the one who has come from God to save God's people and set them free. But the kind of saving they thought they needed wasn't what Jesus was offering. And the kind of freedom he would deliver wasn't what they wanted. If Jesus had told them plainly, I am the Messiah, they would have thought he meant he was their champion against Rome, their political savior who would restore them to power in their promised land. I have told you, Jesus said. I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in God's name testify to me. They tell you plainly who I am. It wasn't a simple actions speak louder than words argument. It was, in the language of John's gospel, as plain a statement as it gets of who Jesus is and how, through him, God saves. Or doesn't John's prologue open the entire gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. In the saving work of God, actions don't speak louder than words. They incarnate them. And so, come and see, Jesus would say over and over and over again to those who wanted to know more about him, whether they ask out of hope or curiosity or suspicion. Come and see. Do you want to know if I am the Messiah? Come and see. See what love looks like in me. Wash someone's weary feet. See what mercy looks like in me. Forgive a prodigal son. See what community looks like through me. Welcome everyone. See what healing looks like through me. Become unparalyzed by your pain or fear. See what salvation looks like through me, in green pastures and still waters, and in the valley of the shadow of death. Follow me, Jesus plainly invites us, and he means follow him with all of who we are, heart and mind and soul and hands and feet. You do not believe, Jesus says to us in our hesitation to submit to an authority other than our own. You do not believe, he says, in our demand that he deliver a salvation of our own designing, in our unwillingness to become part of something larger than ourselves and those who are like us, in our effort to exclude even one other from the fold, in our fear we are not worthy of the flock. You do not believe, you struggle to believe, Jesus says, because you are not willing to belong. This, and only this, is salvation. To participate with God in love that gathers everyone in. Everyone. I looked, we heard from Revelation. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages. They have come out of the great ordeal. And we understand that to mean life. For even those who believe are prone to wander, are vulnerable to accident or injury or illness, are easy prey for enemies like pride or fear or hate or bitterness, superiority, inferiority, addiction, self-righteousness, shame. So it was that love came down from what seemed a distant heaven into the ordeal. A lamb like us, a shepherd like God, to show us how to live, how to belong, how to participate in salvation, how to love. To show us how to tend one another's hunger and thirst, how to be companions for one another in pain and grief, how to go out to the lost and alone and bring them in, how to wipe away what tears we can from the faces of those who weep, to show us how to say, how to show to those on our streets and in our communities and everywhere who do not believe there is hope for themselves, or who do not believe there is room for others, or who do not believe that God loves them, Come and see. Come and see, says a greeter every Sunday on the front porch of our cathedral, a first welcoming face for those who are new to this flock. Come and see, says a lay Eucharistic visitor every Sunday, carrying communion with their hands on their feet to those who hunger and thirst for Christ but are homebound. Come and see, say our holy smokers, our cooking team, joyfully preparing meals to feed a multitude or more. Come and see, say members of our youth group, preparing and serving lunch at Stew Pot today. Come and see, say our catechists, bending low so as to look our children in the eye as they tell the story of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Come and see, say our Sudanese sisters and brothers, faithfully tending their families here and half a world away. Come and see, our Troop One has said for 100 years, generations of scouts committed to a life pattern of service and love to others. Come and see. Each one of us can say, through the ways we make the love of God plain in our own lives, the ways we make love incarnate with our hearts and souls and minds and hands and feet. Having God so alive in us, preaches Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber, having love incarnate in us. Having God alive in us doesn't mean we get things right all the time. It means that when we get things wrong, or when we wander, or when we get hurt, or when we cause hurt, or even if we die, that is not the thing that defines us. That is not the final word. The final word is the same as the in the beginning word that said, let there be light and life and love, and there was. And when our pathways are right, and in every great ordeal, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is still light and life and love, for we belong to a good shepherd and to one another. I pray the Lord, my soul and yours, all the multitude, God's flock, I pray the Lord our souls to keep. I want to be a sheep. Amen.